Now, in Amarillo, they've been going through a teacher training with a lot of the men of the congregation, and I'm part of that, and they split us up. A lot of the college guys got to share a Wednesday night service, and it just started last Wednesday, the speaking did, and they assigned a topic to everyone, and me and Brenton drew the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and so we spoke about that last Wednesday, so this is a fresh lesson. It's been practiced. Y'all aren't the guinea pigs on this one. So I hope y'all enjoy this. I hope I have something to say that can benefit some of you out there. Now, another thing is I spoke the first half of this lesson and Brenton spoke the second half. And I'm giving y'all the full treatment today. So part of this lesson actually is I'm working out on y'all. So if I seem to stumble at a couple points, just bear with me, and we'll try to get through this in the best way we can. So I'm sure that everyone's heard the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin before at one point, or maybe a bunch of times you've heard this story and learned from it. But I don't want to assume anything, so we're gonna first start by reading this parable, and we're gonna go through and we'll examine it before we get started. In Luke chapter 15, we're going to begin in verse number 3. We're going to read till we're done with verse number 10. It says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." So right off the bat, you can see some things that are similar between these two stories that are told in this parable that Jesus told. You know, you have a woman here who's got 10 pieces of silver. In the first one, you have a man and he's got 100 sheep. If you're like me, you think that's a lot of sheep. And what happens is he loses one of his sheep and he's only got 99 now. Also, if you're like me, you might think that's pretty good. 99 out of 100, I'll take that on most anything. I'll take less than that on most anything. But see, this shepherd wasn't very satisfied with just having 99 sheep. He wanted all of them, because they're important to him. And you see the same thing here with the woman. She's got 10 pieces of silver, and she loses one of them. And she goes and she searches through the whole house until she finds it, just like the shepherd does. He goes and he searches out in the wilderness until he finds his lost sheep. And then the ending is what really has the most impact here. They both end up finding it. They seek diligently. It's something that takes an effort. And they both find their lost item. The shepherd finds his sheep. And this woman finds her piece of silver that was lost. And they both have great joy. They rejoice with their friends. I mean, it's such a big deal to them. They call their friends and their family together. And they all come together and they rejoice over this one sheep. And they rejoice over one piece of silver. And you'll find that, you know, that may seem kind of silly, because we were just talking this evening when we went to lunch how Shina dropped a quarter or something and didn't pick it up. And Mom was going, "Shina." You know, because that's 25 cents. Well, 25 cents isn't nothing like losing a sheep to a shepherd. I understand that. But I'm going to show you how serious this is for the shepherd to lose a sheep. And how serious he is to want to find it. So this evening we're going to go over some points. First, we're going to look at some comparisons that Jesus made. We're going to look at some applications that this parable has to the audience that Jesus spoke to at the time. And also some applications that this parable has to us in this time now. And they're the same applications then as they are now. Lastly, we're going to look at how to become part of Jesus' flock. And we're going to look at how to come back to the flock if you've left the flock. So the first comparison that Jesus made here is something that anybody can tell. You're the sheep and you're the coin. I think everybody can see that. And you know, we have a shepherd. We're going to learn who our shepherd is. But you're the sheep and you are the coin. You know, I believe that Jesus chose a sheep for many reasons. I believe that the two biggest reasons were, one is how relatable a sheep would be to those people in this time. You know, a sheep were very important to them. Everybody could understand what a sheep did and what a sheep meant. I don't know anything about sheep, but Jesus' audience did, and I believe that's part of why he chose a sheep. Because I mean, they were used for wool back in this day. They were used for sacrifice. They were also used for food, and so Jesus' audience would readily understand what a sheep would mean, or else he would have used probably something. He could have used any other animal, I guess, that had a shepherd like a sheep. Another reason is kind of something I've already told you about, is how important a sheep is to his shepherd. A sheep is very important to his shepherd. If a sheep loses all his shepherd, or the other way, if a shepherd loses all his sheep, he ain't a shepherd anymore. If he loses a few of his sheep, he's losing his business. He's running out of work if he loses his sheep. What I thought about whenever when I read this parable is cows. Because Pappy's had surgery the last couple summers, and I've been lucky enough to get to work for him and Grammy, and every other day you got to feed the cows in the morning. And you go out, you know, and you feed the cows, but before you feed the cows, you make sure they're all there. You make sure that there's not some of them that are lost. And you know, you're not surprised a lot of times when one of the sheep are lost, or one of the cows are lost, and there's usually a reason, and you can usually see what that reason is. You know, sometimes it may be sick, it may be injured or just gotten over an injury or an illness. And that cow will be back behind. It won't be up there whenever you go to feed. And so you got to go look for that cow. You don't feed them until you find all the cows. Because the cows are important. You see, the cows are just as important to the person who owns the cows as the sheep is to the person who lost the sheep. The next comparison that Jesus made here is that a sheep that is lost is comparable to a person that is lost in sin. I think that's another one that we can all see fairly easy. You know, we read about in Luke whenever the sheep was lost. And that, I think the sheep knew it was lost. He was out in the wilderness. He wasn't with all the other sheep. And so I want to ask you this evening, if you've ever lost something that had great value to you, something that had a big impact whenever you lost it, think about that time when you lost something. The example I used last Wednesday was the TV remote. Whenever I was younger, I remember we misplaced the TV remote about once a week. And if not, it was about once every other week. And you know, the kids would get together and we'd tell each other, the TV remote's gone. What are we going to do? And you know, soon word would get to mom and dad that the TV remote's gone. And we can't change it off Hallmark anymore. Because mom's been watching it. And now we cannot change it. This is a big deal. This is important to us. That TV remote meant something to us. And so pretty soon, mom and dad would say, look here, whoever finds the remote gets a prize. You get $5 if you find this TV remote. And suddenly that became very important to us. And so we'd go, and you know, a lot of times we'd search in the cushions of the couch, and we'd search in all of them, you know, we'd take them out and look around, and then we'd look under the couch, and we'd go into our rooms, and we'd look everywhere, because we most likely carried it off somewhere. And we'd go and we'd look in the kitchen, and we'd go and we'd look upstairs, and we'd come back and we'd look in the cushions of the couch again. And usually do that about two or three times. Sometimes it was found, you know. Another thing I can think of that I lost was whenever I was in about the seventh grade, I lost my cell phone. And that's a big deal to a junior high boy. I lost my cell phone. And I remember it was on Thanksgiving and I wanted to blame mom. I remember blaming her because I said, I gave you my cell phone and now it's lost and I can't find it. And I searched everywhere. I remember looking in the car. I remember looking all throughout my backpack. I looked all over the place, just like we did for the TV remote a lot of times. So that leads me to the next point. Did you find your lost item? I want you to think about whether or not you found your lost item. The last comparison that we're going to talk about is the joy of finding the lost sheep, how comparable that is to the joy of finding the lost sinner. You know, the TV remote was always found. We always got to watch TV. I hate to say that a lot of times Alexis got $5 out of that. That's what happened a lot of times, but it was found and we were all happy because we can change it off Hallmark and we can watch basketball or whatever we want to now. And the same thing with my cell phone. I remember finding it. It was in my backpack. Mom didn't do nothing with it. But it was such a joyous occasion whenever we found the TV remote. We could change the channel. Whenever I found my phone, I could text anybody I wanted to. I could take pictures of stuff again. And that meant something. And that's the same way it is for a shepherd that loses his sheep. That's how joyous it is for that shepherd or that woman who lost her silver. As it said back in Luke, they called all their friends together. It wasn't quite as big a deal to us when we found the TV remote. We didn't call any of y'all guys. But for the shepherd who found his sheep, that was a big deal to him. It was very important to him. So, I mean, you got to think, if these items are found, if you found your items, there's a reason for it. It's because you were looking. We were looking for the remote. We were looking for my cell phone. That's the reason we found it. But the reason that a lost sheep can be found is because it has a shepherd with a purpose. Much like any other shepherd, our shepherd has a purpose. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 24, it says, "But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You see, you have a relationship with your shepherd. You have a relationship with him. And that's very important, that relationship is. And the reason is because here it says in Matthew that he was sent for the lost sheep, Jesus was. It didn't say he was sent for the sheep that were right there in front of him, because they're not lost. And if you think about this, if he's sent for the lost sheep, that means that there's people out there today that are lost. There's sheep that are out there today that are lost, that need to be found, that need this shepherd that has a purpose. And that's why the relationship is so important. Next, we're going to look at some applications that this parable has to us, and the same applications that this parable had to Jesus' audience then. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 21, 22, and we'll skip down to verse number 25. It says, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." You see, the sheep don't always stay in the steps of the shepherd. They don't always walk exactly how they should. They can't. Sometimes sheep just can't do that, and that's exactly how it is with us. Sometimes we don't exactly do what we are told to do. Sometimes it becomes a little bit difficult. I got an illustration I wanted to show. I've told all the kids about this before services. I got a story to tell you. I don't know. I know Dad surely remembers this. I don't know if anyone else who was there remembers. I remember years ago, the Dukes family all went to the sand dunes, and I went with them. Me and Dad did. I don't know who all was there, really. But I was riding some little four-wheeler. It didn't have no power, you know. I was doing my best to keep up. And we decided it's time to go back and take a rest or whatever. And so we're going back, and we're going through this really windy trail. And I remember coming around this corner and just boom and hitting this tree. And this fear came over me because I was lost. And I was in the back, you know. I was bringing up the end. I don't know why. But I can see everybody else is driving off, and I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, because I thought, you know, at the time, I thought I was going to be lost forever. And I remember jumping off, and I tried to pull it back, but I wasn't strong enough. And so I took off, and I ran as fast as I could. And I was waving my arms, and I was screaming for Dad. And he finally turned around and looked and saw me. And, you know, he came and got me and pulled the four-wheeler off, and we rode back, and we were fine. But, you know, I was lost for about 15 seconds. And the fear was unreal, how scared I was for that 15 seconds that I was lost. And the same can be for a sheep. The point I want to make to you with that story, though, is that even though I was lost for 15 seconds, I was still lost, just the same. And, you know, I got some coins here. And, you know, sometimes everybody knows what it's like when you drop some coins and it goes, and sometimes they roll way off. Sometimes, you know, they drop right here. And they're lost. But see, I got these coins that fell just right here. And I mean, they can be considered to be lost. They're not very lost, but there's some lost. But sometimes you get really lost. But I want to tell you that the coin that's out there and the coin that are out here, they're both lost either way. You're lost even if you're right here, close to the shepherd, but you're still lost. Or if you're lost way out there, way far away from the shepherd, you're still lost either way. Just like I was, maybe I was right here on the four-wheeler, right close to Dad, but I was still lost. I could have been way out there, far away, but I was still lost either way. You see, those coins are fair game to all the kids after church, because I don't want to pick them up. So that makes you think. You can fall near, you can fall far, but you're still lost. Either way. So that may bring you to ask a question. Why does a sheep stray from the steps of a shepherd? You know, I said that sometimes it was hard. Sometimes we can't follow in the steps just like we want to, or like we strive to do. But why don't we? Why is it sometimes hard? That's because of sin. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." That's what sin is. Sin is breaking God's commandments. Sin is when you do what you weren't told to do. The exact opposite of what you're supposed to do. You go and do that. That's sin. That's transgressing God's law. Another example for sin. It's in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So these are some of the things you could do whenever you're leaving the steps of your shepherd. That's a pretty rough group of stuff, if you ask me. Murders, drunkenness, that's a rough group of things. And that's just a few examples of what happens whenever you're straying from the steps of the shepherd, whenever you're becoming a lost sheep. This is what makes a lost sheep. This is what makes a lost sheep leave the steps of his shepherd. Another example we have is turning your back on Jesus. You know, you can sin, and a lot of times, you know, we try not to sin. We try to do our best to not do those things. But sometimes when someone's a lost sheep, they've just left the flock. They've completely turned and left. Now you might say, well, that wouldn't happen to me. I wouldn't just leave the flock. I don't know why I'd do that. But it happens more than you'd think to people that you wouldn't think it would happen to. They leave the flock. A lot of people also know this story. It's the story of the prodigal son. We're going to read a couple verses here. Luke chapter 15, it says, "And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." So the younger son goes off, he leaves his dad, he leaves his family, and he's on his own now. And he wastes everything he's got. And if you ask me, I believe that he knew that that wasn't the greatest thing to do. He knew that that was probably not what his father would want him to do. And he went and he did it anyways. See, he left the flock. He just turned and walked away, basically. We're going to finish this story here in just a little while. But for now, I want you to focus on how he just turned and left. There's two ways. You can sin and you can just turn and leave. These are two things that you need to guard against this evening, is sinning and turning your back on Jesus. Now we're getting into the part where it's Brenton's lesson. So the next is applications to us. You know, Jesus is our shepherd. He was our shepherd then. He's our shepherd now. You know, in this parable, Jesus compared himself to the loving shepherd. You may ask yourself, what are some of the characteristics of this loving shepherd? In John chapter 10, we're going to read verses 11 through 18. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for his sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am not of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So a couple of the characteristics here are what it says there at the very beginning, that the good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. That's the kind of shepherd that we have. That's the kind of shepherd that you have. A shepherd that was willing to lay down and give his life for you. You see, this shepherd's very, very specific about us. He's got a very strong purpose as being the shepherd for us. And we have this kind of shepherd, and we're lucky to have this kind of shepherd today. We're lucky to have a shepherd that was willing to die for us, that was willing to show this kind of mercy for us. You know, Jesus, like I said, this mercy, he's got this mercy to forgive us of what we've done. Whenever we do what I was talking about, when you can become a lost sheep, whenever you sin, Jesus is a shepherd that's nice enough, that has enough mercy to forgive us of what we've done. In Titus chapter 3, we'll read verses 3 through 7. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We're lucky to have this shepherd. We're lucky to be one of these sheep. We're lucky that we can even be a sheep that becomes lost and can be found. We're very lucky that we have that today. You know, whenever we find Jesus, you can find your eternal life. You can find the rest of the flock, and you can be one of the rest of the flock. One of the last things we're going to talk about this evening is how God wants you to be saved, and how important one soul is. We read about that in Luke chapter 15, how important that one sheep was, and how comparable that is to how important one soul is to Jesus, how important one soul is to God, and how much work our shepherd did so that we can be one of those sheep, and that just shows how important we are to him. You know, God wants you to follow him, and that's something that we've been taught, and that's something that we know, and that's why we know how important our souls are. We know that as a sheep, we're important because the shepherd will come looking for us until we're found. If you'll work with the shepherd, if you'll try to stay in his steps, he will come looking for you until you're found. We can read again. We've already read these verses this evening. Luke chapter 15, verse number 7. It says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." If that doesn't show you how important one soul is, I don't know what will. That lays it down pretty simple, that if you're a lost sheep and there's 99 sheep that are saved and don't need repentance, your soul is more important to God than theirs is. Your soul is more important at that time because you're lost. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him to repentance." God wants everyone to come to him. You know, you may read something like this, and you may think, well, everyone's automatically saved because of that. If that's what Jesus is saying, if that's what God is saying, then everyone is saved. Then why do we need repentance? Well, that's not true. This just means that God is willing for everyone to have a chance to come to him. God is willing that everyone can be a found sheep, that everyone can come back to the flock. So we're going to talk about becoming part of the flock, Now I realize that I don't have all the steps here. I don't have all this down in the lesson, but we're going to look at just a couple important points of becoming part of Jesus' flock. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3 says, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Romans chapter 6 verses 3 through 4 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ we are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." This is how you become part of the flock. You got to be baptized. You got to go through the steps of salvation if you want to become part of the flock, if you aren't already. Because if you haven't become part of the flock, you're just as lost as someone who is part of the flock that stepped out of the steps of the shepherd. You're equally as lost. Another thing could be you're part of the flock, like we've discussed, and you've left the flock. You've stepped out of the steps of the shepherd. You've sinned or you've turned your back on Jesus. How can you come back to the flock? We've already read about how God will forgive us for that. We've read about how we have a shepherd who's got mercy enough to forgive us and let us come back to the flock. Luke chapter 15, verse 23 through 24. This is the rest of the story of the prodigal son. It says, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. See, it's just like the story of the lost sheep. It's just like the story of the woman who lost her piece of silver. Whenever that sheep and that coin is found, whenever the son came back to his father, they were very happy. And Jesus tells us why. Because of the importance of one soul. How important one is over the 99 that don't need repentance. That's how you can come back to the flock. You got to have a humble mindset. You got to come back to Jesus willing to repent. And then you can become part of the flock again. We're all lost sheep at one time. We were all lost. We all had sin. We all didn't know how to get back to the flock at one time, maybe. If you're lost down here, or if you're lost up here, you can come back to the flock. You can come back. Jesus is willing to let you come back. God is willing to forgive you if you're lost and if you want to come back.